What Do You Do? Written by Sarah Long and read by Jan Francis.
Chapter 1. What time is it, Mum?
Oh, no, I know we're going to be late. If we're late, I'm not going to school. It's all your fault.
Charles Edward slumped back into his seat while Laura attempted to carve a route through the anarchic traffic that crisscrossed the Trocadero. It was rather depressing, she thought, that at the age of 7, Charles Edward had already developed some of the more disagreeable French traits: hysteria, a filthy temper, and a tendency to blame. It's 8:42. We've got plenty of time, and it's not my fault if some arsehole is blocking the road, she replied, honking the horn of the Renault Espace at the driver of the car in front, who had considered it quite normal to hold up rush hour traffic for 5 minutes while he double-parked in front of a tabac to get his daily fix of cigarettes.
"You said a rude word, Mum," remarked her other son helpfully. "Arsehole, that's where your poo comes out."
"It's not that rude," said Laura. "I can think of plenty that are ruder."
"Well, it's still not very nice to say arsehole. I don't know any other mummies who say arsehole."
He pronounced it daintily with a clear division between the syllables. Charles Edward saw further opportunity to fuel his tide of self-righteousness.
"Yeah, you're disgusting, Mum. Why can't you be nice like Mary Poppins?"
Laura screeched to a halt outside the school and, as every proper chauffeur should, leapt out of the car to open the door for her children. "Here you are, my darlings. Have a nice day." She watched them run across the playground, Charles Edward leading the way, doubled up beneath the weight of his SWAT-sized satchel. Pierre-Louis, whose stocky figure at the age of 5 still carried the last traces of baby roundness, followed behind, his gloves sewn slapdash onto an overlong cord which trailed along the ground. She waited until they turned to wave as they reached the door. The headmistress, looking less like an educationalist than an investment banker in her snappy two-piece, slammed the door behind the last stragglers, leaving the parents free to turn away to pursue their busy lives. Laura climbed back into her car. "Time for a coffee," she thought. Laura de Saint-Lager, aged 37, retired executive and mother of 2, took up her usual seat by the window of the cafe. A waiter approached the table. He had the grey skin of those who spend their entire life indoors and clearly hadn't had any fresh air for about 15 years.
"Un grand crème et une tartine, s'il vous plaît," said Laura.
She knew better than to waste a smile on him, as he took her order without the slightest hint of recognition, even though she regularly wasted the first half hour of her uneventful day there. She also knew better than to ask for a café au lait, having lived in Paris long enough to know that this was terribly naff. Tourists called it café au lait. For natives, it was crème. She glanced round at the company. Old people, mostly alone, and a couple of business people poring over computer printouts. 2 American students, pretending to be bohemian left-bank poets, were scribbling self-consciously in notebooks. There was little conversation, and no one was smiling. An atmosphere of depressed resignation hung about the dinky tables, as heavily as the cloud of tobacco smoke. The new regulations meant that every cafe had to have a properly ventilated no-smoking area, but this usually took the form of a small non-fumeur sign tossed onto the least appealing table. That was the French for you, a load of legislation that everyone ignored. When she first came to live in Paris, Laura used to feel guilty about blowing the equivalent of £3.50 on a cup of coffee and a buttered piece of baguette every morning, when she could have more cheaply gone back to the apartment for her breakfast. Now she regarded it as her right, just as her many visitors from England considered it their right to spend as little money as possible. They would come for 3 or 4 days to enjoy the free board and lodging, which Laura, as homemaker, was happy to provide, but became resentful at having to fork out for the odd refreshment.